Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm thrilled to be back in Wisconsin with thousands of proud, hardworking American patriots.
USA!
There's never been such spirit. Look, we won in 2016. We did much better in 2020, I hate to say. We did a hell of a lot better. But there's never been spirit like this. Never, never, ever. Probably for anyone. And I appreciate it. Thank you very much, everybody.
The Donald, the orange man, Mr. T as in Trump, was back in Wisconsin, Phil, for the first time this year.
That was the first time this year. It feels like he's here all the time.
Donald Trump gave his first campaign speech in Green Bay last week, and we've got six takeaways on what it all means.
I'm surprised he got out. He came to Green Bay the night of that giant snowstorm. It snowed like a foot there. I think
you've been listening to Trump's hyperbole. It did not snow
3 feet there.
We haven't talked about Donald Trump in a while.
Thank God.
He's been out of the White House. You can say thank God again.
Thank God. And in the courthouse.
But he very well could be back, and that's why we're going to be talking about him on his latest trip to Wisconsin.
Wait, is he running for president?
Or emperor or king. We're going to talk about his hour-long speech in Green Bay on today's Center Stage with Milford and Hands, the Wisconsin State Journal's political podcast from the Sensible Center of Wisconsin Politics. I'm Scott Milford. I'm the opinion editor for the State Journal.
I'm Phil Hands. I'm the editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal.
We are two-fifths of the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board.
The more coherent two-fifths. Unlike Trump.
Well, the rest of the editorial board's relatively coherent.
Yeah, I mean, we're all coherent compared to Trump.
I mean, Trump's not on our board.
I mean, you called it an hour-long speech. It's more of an hour-long ramble is what it is.
Every now and then he looks back at the teleprompter and reads this very precise messaging that's been written for him, but he can't help it. That'll go for about 20 seconds, and then he just goes off to talk.
I love, actually, my favorite takeaways, and we probably don't have any of these clips, but it's where he's clearly reading from the teleprompter, and then he's like, and that's true. Where it's like, and that part of what I just said, which is from the teleprompter, is actually a real fact, as opposed to what I'm going to say now.
One thing that I came away with, I guess this would be one of my first takeaways, which I don't know why I was surprised, but he's not just doubling down, he's tripling, quadrupling, quintupling down, that he didn't lose the election, that he won it. And Rojo's there, Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson admitted long ago that Trump just didn't do well enough with Republican voters like he did and other Republicans did, or he would have won. Now, granted, that was on secret camera. But, you know, he's admitted it. Pretty much all the Republicans are acknowledging that Trump lost, other than the goofy guy from Campbellsport.
Oh, Rantham?
Rantham. Generally, the Republicans understand that he lost. They understand the late votes in Milwaukee were the same as what happened legitimately when Walker was there. But Trump's just insisting he didn't lose.
Even though 60-plus court cases, multiple recounts, election audits, and reviews all show that Joe Biden won. Fair and square. Trump lost.
You know, we won this state. We won this state by a lot. And it came out that we won this state, actually.
It did not come out that he won the election. You know, he just throws that out there. It's absurd, but he's tripling down on the absurdity here.
Yeah, he actually cites it like there's evidence that he won, and there's none. There's zero, zilch, no evidence that he won it. More votes than Joe Biden in Wisconsin.
The right-wing group out of Milwaukee looked at it and said, no, he lost. It's really the suspension of truth, and that's what's the worst thing, I think, about Trump is up can be down, black can be white, and Trump can win.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what he said yesterday. It's what he says today that actually is what he believes. And if you're not on the same page as him, then you're a traitor to the country, in his opinion, even if his position has changed since last week. I mean, a couple of years ago, when he was president, he was in favor of banning TikTok. Now he's opposed to it. It's like, you know, what his position was has nothing to do with what he thinks.
But he's been consistent on that he did win the last election, even though he lost.
He's been consistent on that. And his claim is that, you know, he was ahead when he went to bed, and then all of a sudden, middle of the night, all these illegal votes came in Milwaukee County, which is a Democratic county. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I wake up in the morning and I've lost Wisconsin, and it's totally dubious. And we all know what happens in Milwaukee County. They get so many absentee ballots that they can't count them all until late into the night on election night. And here in Wisconsin, Republicans actually had a chance to change that rule to let clerks process the ballots early so they could get
on Mondays before elections.
So they get the results out earlier on Tuesday night. And the Republicans go along with that?
Yes, they did in the Assembly, but not in the Senate.
I mean, it's not, we didn't change the rules. And so we're going to have the exact same thing happen this fall.
Yeah.
And Trump's going to claim that Milwaukee was, the vote was rigged against him again.
Yeah. And hopefully he'll be claiming that he won when he didn't, because that means he did lose and we don't have to put up with another 4 years of Trump.
Yeah, he won't claim it's rigged if he wins. Be clear about that.
One of my second takeaways from this that I was struck by was how much he is banking, literally, actually, on evangelicals. I mean, he's selling his Bibles now.
$60 a pop, right?
He's all in on courting the evangelical vote.
As seemingly the last guy on the face of the earth who's believable as a follower of Jesus.
I mean, so he's selling the Bible to Christians to pay his legal bills for sexual abuse of a woman in New York City.
Beware of false prophets.
And what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Such total disrespect to Christians. And November 5th is going to be called something else. You know what it's going to be called? Christian Visibility Day, when Christians turn out in numbers that nobody has ever seen before. Let's call it Christian Visibility Day, all right?
This Transgender Visibility Day has been on the 31st for more than a decade, and Biden didn't pick Easter for it, but again, the facts don't matter to one Donald J. Trump. But being a bully, I see why he'd try to pick on people that are different.
Yeah.
He's so disbelievable as a Christian, and yet his marketing on this is pretty good. You can see being in the crowd, it's a fun time, I guess, for the crowd there. They love it that he's able to just weasel out of everything and turn any criticism of him back on somebody else.
I listened to this whole speech. You get the feeling, I've heard this before, and I think it's actually true that Trump rallies are a little bit like a Grateful Dead show.
All right, there's our takeaway number three from the Trump rally.
Like in the parking lot, it's like a party atmosphere beforehand. You can buy food or T-shirts or memorabilia.
Yeah.
Just like they have Shakedown Street for a Dead show. And it sounds like in the audience, there's people that come to every rally. Like they follow him around the country. Some guy wearing his wall suit and like they've heard the spiel every single time. But, you know, it's just like a Dead show. You're looking for those differences and how he's going to mix it up tonight, you know? And well, so people are there and, like, I think that's probably the only thing that Trump has in common with the Grateful Dead. But, I mean, you get the feeling that people, they're there for the show and the entertainment of it.
And he's rerunning on just about everything that he ran on originally, especially immigration.
Oh, yeah, that's all he wants to talk about is immigration.
They're sending prisoners, murderers, drug dealers, mental patients, terrorists. The worst of every country is coming into our country now. They're coming from the Congo, Yemen, Somalia, Syria, all over the world. They're coming. They're country changing, country threatening, and they're country wrecking. They're destroying our country. They're destroying, you know, we can drill and we can get the oil going. We can get. But this is a tough one. We're going to end up with the largest deportation in American history. We have no choice.
He also claimed during this speech that he built more than 500 miles of wall while he was president. What he didn't say is the vast majority, almost all of it, was just replacing wall that was already there. He wasn't extending the wall, much if at all, because he just couldn't get it done. And he certainly didn't get Mexico to pay for it, which is yet another broken promise.
He also claimed that everybody stopped coming to America when he was president.
And it only started again when Joe Biden became president.
What's striking to me is how effective this is, even in Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin's a manufacturing, agriculture, and tourism state. Now, granted, we got the tech sector really popping in Madison and Eau Claire and Milwaukee and some other cities. But those are the three biggest industries in Wisconsin.
Manufacturing, agriculture, and tourism.
And those industries all need workers. They all rely on immigrant workers to some degree. They could use more. And yet Trump's saying they're all terrible and they're going to ruin Wisconsin.
There's a problem on the border with too many people coming to the border and people not being able to. The system is overwhelmed. There's an actual legitimate problem at our southern border. We are about as far away from the southern border as you can get in Wisconsin. You know, we are not experiencing the issues that people are experiencing on the southern border. But people in Wisconsin are just as fired up as if they lived in South Texas, maybe even more so.
I'm not going to win any converts from the Trump crew with this, but...
You think they're listening, Scott? I doubt it.
But, you know, I think it was Thomas Friedman of the New York Times who used to talk about how other countries of the world, they all send us their most precious asset for free, their kids. They're like brightest kids. They all want to send them here to go to school or to give them a chance to work and have a brighter life. And that has been... really, the sparkle of America. That's what's renewed us and made us so strong.
And far too often in our country, we actually send those people back after we've made them excellent resources.
You're right that the border is a problem, and Biden has made it worse. I think just Biden's rhetoric just before he was elected was suggesting he was going to be very different from Trump, which signaled, okay, we're going to have an easier time getting into America now. But Biden just tried to pass some very stringent immigration rules and money to enforce the border better, and Trump didn't want it done because he wanted to be able to say things like this at rallies.
Do you think Trump actually cares about immigration and the border? No, he wants to win elections. And he's learned that this rhetoric about immigrants and foreigners and the changing country is really appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah,
it really fires people up, and that's why he cares about it.
At some point, though, doesn't it go too far? Like, suppose you're from Whitewater, and he brought up Whitewater during his speech and made it sound like it was a hellhole.
Yeah.
I mean, Whitewater's a nice place. I've been there a lot.
It's a nice town. It's a college town.
I don't think I would, for one moment, be afraid of being victimized in Whitewater.
Yeah.
And yet, here's what he said about this community. I guess my point is, at what point do people in more conservative places, like if you, not that Whitewater's super conservative, but it is down there by Walworth County. There's a lot more Republicans down there than up here in Madison. At what point do you say, okay, Trump, you've crossed a line here. This shtick is too much for me. I mean, they've been saying that in the suburbs, I guess, for a while.
To a certain extent. I mean, Trump's always going to find anecdotal evidence of one or two illegal migrants doing something bad in America. And that's enough to drive his...
Okay, but here's Whitewater. Let's hear what he said about Whitewater.
Look no further than the small town of Whitewater, Wisconsin. Does anybody know Whitewater? After being inundated with Biden migrants, this tiny town now has a budget shortfall of over $400,000. Their public schools are straining with hundreds of new migrant students who don't speak a word of English. Their police force is being diverted from traffic stops to migrant crime, our favorite new term, migrant crime. It's a new category of crime. And their town is becoming a hotbed of cartel activity and illicit drugs like nobody's ever even envisioned before. A vote for Trump is a vote to save Wisconsin, and it's a vote to save your country. This country is finished if we don't win this election.
You know, I'm usually don't buy into the dog whistle arguments. I think a lot of times on the left will hear dog whistles when they aren't there. But do you think it's any coincidence that it's Whitewater and all these people of color from countries outside the United States are destroying Whitewater?
Yeah, I haven't heard about this. I mean, it hasn't made the mainstream media, I guess, the evil mainstream media. We haven't been talking about the migrant crisis in Whitewater.
I did think of Austin Power there, where he's like, and Whitewater, because of all this terrible thing, they've got a budget shortfall of $400,000.
It's like, write a check, Trump. Come on.
I mean, $400,000, that's like maybe a fire truck or a very small road project. It's not that much money for a city.
I mean, we got 27 $20 million in a budget shortfall in Madison, which, you know, compared to this federal deficit is a drop in the bucket. I mean, that's like four shells for artillery.
But I mean, if you're a Republican in Whitewater, don't you like say, that's not the community I live in?
You might know the better than me because you grew up in small town Wisconsin. I didn't. I mean, so are people like, I see four more Latinos on the sidewalk than I did yesterday. Our town's gone to hell. I mean, do people think that?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, they keep voting for Trump, so maybe they do.
Especially down in Warwick County has long had some of the higher percentages of Latinos anywhere in the state. I mean, Delavan has an incredible Latino population and did back 20 years ago when I was spending more time there because I was living in Lake Geneva. I guess I should say 30 years ago.
40 years ago.
But I don't know. I just think the old act is getting stale, but I don't know. You keep going to Grateful Dead shows, so maybe it's not.
Yeah,
maybe you're just proving me wrong here.
What he talked about there, too, which I thought was interesting, he really wants to hang his hat on this migrant crime, you know.
It's a new category of crime, just invented.
And the thing about crime is that the anecdotal evidence of crime is so more powerful than any statistic about it. I know that murders are, like, that crime is down in Madison. But 2 years ago, some guy got murdered behind my house.
Yeah.
So it freaks you out.
It
feels like it's more dangerous, even though I can see the data that says it's not. But all the data will tell you that immigrant community is so much less likely to commit crimes than the general population. But there's so many, I mean, our country is huge. There's a lot of immigrants, but our country is huge. And so there's going to be some crime. There's going to be occasional horrific things that happen, unfortunately. And Trump can really highlight, you know, he's just going to highlight this every time a migrant does something out of line, he's going to highlight it. I'd like to start seeing liberals say, like, let's talk about white Christian crime. So every time a white Christian does something in the media, you know, they highlight that crime. Because there's a lot more white Christians than there are immigrants in this country.
One of the big fears of Trump being elected again is just his populism fading into authoritarianism, where is he going to this time have the stooges in place as a VP at the Department of Justice, where he really could potentially undermine democracy to the point where he could stop fair elections from happening?
Yeah, we know that in his first term, there were a lot of professional people sort of picked by the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Or guided into positions of power.
Pence, the attorney general.
Even Reince Priebus, chief of staff.
Chief of staff. They knew what they were doing. And yet he's able to kind of turn this around. So it's actually Joe Biden that's trying to undermine democracy by going after him as if he were Scarface.
Yeah.
Let's make that our fourth takeaway, that Trump will take the most effective criticisms against him and turn it back on his opponent. And unfortunately, he's pretty good at it.
I got indicted more than Alphonse Capone. Al Capone. Scarface. You know how bad he was? You know, I know some of the guys in the front row. They're tough guys. If you ever looked at Alphonse Capone, you wouldn't be tough at all. You'd be dead by the morning, most likely. I got indicted more than Alphonse. Alphonse was a tough man. They did a movie called Scarface. Check it out. Even if it was half true, you don't want to deal with him. But the fact is, the people understand it. They get it. It's election interference at the highest level. Never happened in our country before.
Do you almost get the sense that he admires Scarface here?
I will point out, too, not that Trump's known for his accuracy, but the movie Scarface was not about Alphonse Capone. It was Al Pacino. He's a Cuban drug lord in the 1980s, which was not Al Capone in the 1930s selling hooch. Maybe there were some similarities. I actually haven't seen Scarface because it's too violent and scary for me.
Well, you still have young enough children. You can't watch scary movies.
I saw one scene where they chopped some guy up with a chainsaw, and I was done.
Whether it's Scarface or Al Capone, you get the feeling that he admires thugs.
I think so. Anybody who's worked in his orbit who's had the courage to speak against him will tell you about, you know, his fixer, Michael Cohen, is always talking about. He runs his organization like it's a mafia organization. He doesn't issue direct orders in writing. He makes innuendos the way a mob boss does to protect himself. So I think it's clear he respects and admires those sort of figures.
It didn't seem like there were many Republicans of prominence at this event. I mean, you had Tom Tiffany,
who seemed willing to overturn the election for Trump.
Rojo, Ron Johnson, who, of course, is all in and...
I think he's got a seat on Trump's plane, Ron Johnson.
And then Glenn Grothman. He pronounced his name correctly this time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, good old Glenn.
And I know Glenn's not a big Trumper, but he's playing along, I guess.
And then there was Eric Hovde, who's running for U.S. Senate against Tammy Baldwin. I mean, that was about it. That's maybe a fifth takeaway, which is the Republican establishment seems to be keeping him at arm's length as best they can, or at least when they're able to. But I guess Hovde feels he has to be arm in arm, which I don't think helps his chances against Baldwin this fall.
And a man who's doing really good, U.S. He's just about even in the polls. I see it. He's a handsome devil. I just met him backstage. And a beautiful wife, a beautiful family, U.S. Senate candidate, Eric Hovde. Eric Hovde. Where's Eric? Eric, good job. Man, I tell you. Eric, I met Eric and I've studied Eric and because we have to get it right. And running against some very fine people, really. But I've looked it out and they're going to have other opportunities. Eric, I am giving you my complete and total endorsement. So go out and win. Go out and win. Go out and win. You better win. We always win.
Yeah, he always wins. Like when he endorsed Herschel Walker, and when he endorsed Dr. Oz, and when he endorsed Carrie Lake. They always win.
Yeah.
Hovde definitely has an uphill battle against the incumbent Baldwin.
But he is really handsome. I mean, that is probably the truest thing that Trump said in the entire night, is that Eric Hovde is a very handsome man,
yeah,
despite the mustache on his face.
That is true, yes. Handsome devil.
Handsome devil.
Hovde tried to run to the right of Tommy Thompson the last time he ran for Senate.
He lost.
And he lost to Tommy, but then Tommy lost to Tammy Baldwin. Did I say Tommy Baldwin?
You said Tommy Baldwin. That sounds like a cartoon waiting to happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Tammy.
Sorry, Tommy, too.
Yeah. Tammy Baldwin won by a lot over Vukmir this last
election. Oh, my God. Yeah, election. Creamed her.
I mean, just creamed her. And Tammy Baldwin's in control of this race. Now, sure, I suppose she could lose, but if you're Eric Hovde, I don't see how you win being hitched to Trump. I thought Hovde, he's a guy from Madison.
Originally. Air quotes around Madison.
Yeah. When he first announced, I was like, oh, I guess he's not running way to the right this time because he doesn't have to sort of out-conservative the conservative. Because nobody else seems to be running of consequence at this point. It appears to be his race, and they're going to clear out so he can run against Tammy Baldwin and save his millions of dollars to spend. So I thought he was going to be more moderate this time, try to get the suburbs, try to pull in more people. But if you got Trump out there who is giving you his full-throated endorsement, I'm just not sure how that works, especially when you're kind of a rich guy, high flyer too. I don't know. I just don't see that working great. But maybe it's impossible to run as a Republican without hitching yourself to Trump at this point.
I always thought it was weird that so many people in Wisconsin looked at Tommy Thompson and looked at Tammy Baldwin and said, we're going to elect, from all over Wisconsin, said, we're going to go ahead and elect the first lesbian to the U.S. Senate from Madison, Wisconsin. But she won big throughout the entire state of Wisconsin against Tommy. Like, she defeated, and Tommy's the most popular governor that Wisconsin's ever had. And so it's hard to think that people from across the state are going to say, you know what I want? I want this multimillionaire banker who's got a house in California because he understands my values more than Tammy Baldwin does.
I thought it was funny that Trump said, yeah, I just met him backstage. And then he says, yeah, I've studied this guy and I'm giving him my full endorsement. Oh, man.
I mean, he studied his face. He knows he's a handsome devil.
Yeah. And his wife he studied, too, apparently.
Well, you know, you should be so lucky to have Trump study your wife, right?
Anyway, I just don't know where to go with Trump. I mean, I respect, or did, the Republican Party. I still respect a lot of the Republicans who are in office. But my goodness, I just still can't believe that the base of the Republican Party is MAGA. So MAGA enthralled with this BS.
Yeah, and, you know, if you got most Republicans off the record, maybe not Tom Tiffany, but they would tell you that Trump's all BS. You know, they know it's BS, but they know that their only shot of getting elected is to dip their paddle in the stream of BS and go along with it for the time being.
And it's not that he doesn't have points, which is Biden does come off as a little sleepy. He's not doing great at the border.
The border's a mess. Yeah. The border's an effing mess. Now, is Trump going to fix it? Absolutely not.
Well, you already fixed it the last time, he says, but right.
We thought Americans were so much smarter than this, right? I mean, I think you and I had more faith in the general American voter to not be duped by this on a consistent basis.
Well, but to your point, maybe they're not duped. They just like the show. They just like the entertainment, and they like him sticking it to the people in charge and the smart people and the people who have money, even though he's got money, sort of.
I mean, he had money.
I mean, that's the thing is I'm a small town Wisconsin guy, and the idea that small town Wisconsin people can be duped by this slick talking guy from New York, you know, hotel casino guy from New York City.
It seems to go against everything we thought about.
Yeah, I thought the farmer was, you know, he could spot bullshit a mile away.
Shit from Shinola, right?
Yeah, and that was common sense they were voting for. And I guess you could say, well, you know, Trump has, I guess, some of that. He will speak in a language that people can relate to and that makes sense. And it's exaggerated, but like in this speech, he said, oh, well, you know what I'm going to do? If you kill a police officer, that's an automatic death penalty.
Yeah.
Well, he can't do that.
We have to change the Wisconsin Constitution to do that.
Yeah, but his hyperbolic points, I guess they get across and they land, and that's what people hear, and they have fun at the rally. I mean, it is sort of entertaining in kind of a trashy sort of way.
I mean, it's more fun than a Biden rally.
I'm a little encouraged that in most polling, we've been kind of that one outlier swing state where we're not polling for Trump, a lot of the other swing states are.
I thought it was encouraging that after our primary, you know, Nikki Haley still got something like 15% of the vote in Wisconsin.
I voted for her.
Me too. That's two right there. But, you know, it's, you know, there's still a lot of people in Wisconsin who were like, no, we're not going for this BS.
Then again, the Democrats have a candidate here where you and I were not big Biden fans to begin with when he first ran. I remember the debate where there were 10 or 12 Democrats on the stage, and I think we were thinking that Biden, if he wasn't our last choice, he was close.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, they took kind of the longest running cookie cutter politician, and that's the kind of people that Trump really is good as a bully of poking fun of. Hopefully it doesn't work again.
I hope so. Because thank you, because help us, Joe Biden. You're our only hope, apparently, at this point.
Yeah, I'm all in on Biden because I'm all off of Trump.
Yeah, I'd love to see Joe Biden. I would love for Joe Biden to announce 2 years into his presidency, I'm out. I saved us from Trump. I'm done. Let's have somebody new and young and exciting take over the mantle of the Democratic Party. You know, I think it's a mistake for Joe Biden to run again. But he's what we got. I mean, the way Trump wins is that it's sort of an even race on election day. And people who don't know, who are just sort of completely tuned out, have not heard enough bad stuff about Trump to vote against him on election day. They just sort of say, I know the name. I saw him on TV. He's kind of fun. I think people are sort of out to get him, and I'll vote for Trump. If he's in the news a ton and we all see what an idiot he is, I think people are going to vote for Biden. What scares me is we compared Trump to the Grateful Dead a little bit, which I think is a very bizarre comparison.
That was an apt comparison.
But what worries me
Jerry's had crazy hair. So does Trump.
Jerry Garcia has been dead for almost 30 years now. What terrifies, and I'm going to go see The Dead and Company this May in Las Vegas. I'm going to see a show.
Again.
I'm worried that 30 years after Trump's dead, there's going to be like Trump and Company. And there's still going to be this MAGA movement in America. They're going to find like the John Mayer of crazy rhetoric.
Trump Jr.
To keep this train going and play these same shows over and over again. And people are going to be on the road with Trump for 30 years.
I think it's going to be a broken record. I think he's done. But
dunzo.
Hopefully I didn't just jinx American democracy and everything else.
Yeah. Hopefully this is not the end of American democracy.
Our theme music is by Tube Tester.